about the, how many is it the first time you've heard Brother Jack preach? Let me see your hand. How many don't give a flip? Let me see your hand. Thank you. What a joy to be here with you. You just come in from Las Vegas? Okay, amen. Moving to New York. Are you from New York? Oh, okay. Welcome home. God bless you. It's different out there, too. I tell you, your preacher wore me out yesterday. Good night. I didn't know a little man could walk that fast. Good night. This big Bubba had a rough time there. Well, we went street preaching yesterday. We all got cussed out, so that was good. We enjoyed that. Point is, I cuss them back. No, I'm just kidding. And but we're glad to be here with you today. We brought the girls, of course, my wife, Miss Karen. We brought the girls here with us. And Brother John went street preaching with us yesterday. He did a good job. He was shaking the steel in the building just preaching so loud. But thank you, Brother John. It was a blessing to see his testimony. 70 years old, street preaching for the first time. Well, I bless you. I tell you, it's a blessing to go out there. And I told Pastor yesterday, I got out of my preacher friends, Jack, you go on the street and street preach? Yeah. Aren't you getting too old for that? No, I'm just getting too young for that. Hey, live on the streets. Take the message to the. I love the public ministry, street ministry. And I tell you, you owe yourself a treat to go out there. And it's good to see Andrew back there. I'll be taking him back with me today. Oh, just kidding. He's afraid of that. He's hitting back his mama. And she's wanting to put him back in there. No, just kidding. I told him we're going to go to the barber shop tomorrow and so forth. But he sees me. He says, oh, no, Brother Jack is back. And you behave yourself, boy. I like you. I want you back. You keep going street preaching with your pastor. You'll be all right. What a joy to be here. The girls from the Rachel Academy from Birmingham, Alabama, and just broken hearts, but victory today. They're called Jubilee Ensemble. We had three girls. The last 3 weeks, we lost about three girls. But every time they leave, the group gets better, so no more leaving, okay? But we're glad to be here today, and we had a great time yesterday. I hope we can be a blessing to you today. God bless you. Hear these girls sing. They sang last night. Was it Rocco's? Rocco's. That one guy took his hat off. He's going to take an offering for everybody. We had a wonderful time there. God bless you. I hope they'll be a blessing to your heart.
Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. His mountain on the sides of the north, the city of the great King.
Making life simple, the statutes of the Lord. sweet when my soul is weary. He gives peace and rest. All I can say is I'm blessed. Now I've had my share of sunshine and rain, days filled with laughter, nights filled with pain. But with every mile as I travel this way, the journey gets sweeter each day. It's been a long journey, but I've been blessed. Walking with Jesus, I have no regrets. He is so good to me, I must confess. The way has been long, but I'm blessed.
I'm 17. I'm from Michigan. I've been at the ranch almost 10 months now. I came in willingly. Came in and I got saved. God just right away opened my eyes of things. You know, like when I was doing, I was out in the world. I looked for help, but all I did was get hurt. And I kept searching for the help and the love I wanted inside my heart, and just got hurt more and more and more. And God has just he's restored the relationship between me and my dad. Just such an amazing relationship we have now. I can just give him a hug and mean it, and it just means the most. It's great what God has done for me and what he does for all of us. And I just thank God I'm saved. See my sister while I was here. And I got to see him Wednesday, and it was hard to say goodbye, but I can tell that they're happy now that they know I'm at a good place.
Amen. Amen. Come on,
Miss Jessie. Hi, my name's Cynthia. I'm from Delaware. I've been at the ranch for a little bit over a year. While I've been here, the Lord has been working in my heart. He's been letting me forget my past and just move on. I have surrendered my life to be a missionary to Ireland. And since I've been here, I have so much joy in my heart. I never felt joy like this before. My family is Catholic, so I never really knew what God was before until I came to hit the ranch. And I just love the Lord so much, and he's just been so good to me, and I just am thankful for everything he's done.
Hi, my name's Jennifer. I'm 14 from Miami, Florida. Been at the ranch for a little bit over a year. I grew up in a pretty crazy home, same standards as almost everybody actually gets raised in. Came to the ranch, got saved on May 18, 2007. Turned my life to whatever he wanted me to do, and I'm praying to be a missionary to Cuba. That's the goal with my pastor, Brother Jeff McCardo, and help him out in Cuba. So I keep me in prayer, and the Lord has just been working in my heart so much. Like, it's been a blessing just being here, just being on this trip. Just ask that I pray for us.
Did a good job. That's something track yesterday. Hey, anybody have any Cubans here? Raise your hand. Don't keep it. Go ahead. How about Babylonians? Dr. Hussein's granddaughter.
My name is Cece. I'm 17. I'm from Buffalo, New York. Been at the ranch now about 2.5 years. When I was 14, I got kicked out of my house and got to live with my aunt and my uncle. And they're the only safe people in my family, not the best Christians, but they're doing the best that they can. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Most of my family is atheist. The other believe that you're going to heaven if you believe there's some sort of God. That's what I grew up believing. And I came here, and the Lord's allowing me to finish up high school. Not done yet, but I'm on my way. Before I came here, I didn't care about school, didn't care about anything. So I got caught up in everything the world had to offer me. Since I've been here, the Lord called me to the mission field of Papua New Guinea. And I told my family that. They're like, are you crazy? What are you going to do there? You know, what's Papua New Guinea? So God, just, he's strengthened my faith since I've been here. Just whatever he wants, I'm going to do it. When I was a very young child, I got involved in a lot of drugs and just everything the world had to offer. Now I'm 11 years old. I took 36 sleeping pills because there was nothing left in my life. I just didn't think there was anything worth living for. Tried to kill myself. God saved me. He let me live.
Amen. Amen. Come on, Connecticut girl.
Hi, I'm Amanda. I'm 17 from Connecticut. I've been at the ranch for about a year and a half. Coming to the ranch, I was taken out of the world. I was taken out of sin. I was taken out of everything. But in my heart, that's where my desires were. That's where I wanted to be. I knew I needed help. I was brought up in a good church my whole life. So I knew the right from the wrong. I knew too much, basically. And
listen up.
I came to the ranch thinking that I was going to come and I was going to do my year, no more than that. And I was going to go home and, you know, I was going to be in church. I was going to play the church girl. But, you know, on the weekends, I was still going to go live my life. And the Lord's really changed that. And I went home in August for a visit, and I came back, and the Lord just, the last 4 months, has done so much for me. But it's more so that I've let him do stuff for me. I've given things to him that I was still holding on to, and I didn't want to let go. And he put circumstances in my life to just make me see that he's going to take things away, and he did, but he got me through it. And he was just trying to test my faith. He was trying to see if I was going to stick with him or if I was going to leave him. And I want to stay with him because that last song that we sang, days fill with laughter, nights fill with pain, and that's how it was. Yeah, I was living my life and I was having fun, but at night I was in so much pain. And the Lord's just filled my heart with joy and just to thank him for everything he's done.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, for loving me so.
Thank you, Lord, for the grace you've bestowed.
Thank you, Lord, that there on the tree, Jesus shed his precious blood to set me free. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
gonna tell you by the coming of the judgment, fare thee well, fare thee well. I'm gonna tell you by the coming of the judgment, fare thee well, fare thee well. There's a better day a coming,
fare thee well, fare thee well.
There's a better day a coming,
fare thee well, fare thee well.
And that great
again the morning, fare thee well, fare thee well.
And that great
again the morning, fare thee well, fare thee well.
When you see the lightning flashing,
fare thee well, fare thee well.
When you hear the thunder crashing,
fare thee well, fare thee well.
When you see the stars are falling,
fare thee well, fare thee well.
When you hear the chariots calling,
fare thee well, fare thee well.
And that great
again the morning, fare thee well, fare thee well.
And that great
again the morning, fare thee well, fare thee well.
When you see the lightning flashing, when you hear the thunder crashing, when you see the stars are falling, when you hear the chariots calling, a good news,
good news chariots coming,
good news,
good news chariots coming,
so the light chariots coming, I don't want to be left out.
This long white robe in heaven I know.
Long white robe in heaven I know. Long white robe in heaven I know.
I say good news,
good news chariots coming,
good news,
good news chariots coming,
so the light
chariots coming, I don't want to be left out.
In that great
again the morning, fare thee well, fare thee well.
In that great
again the morning, fare thee well, fare thee well.
In that
next song is called The Missionary Song. Our next song is called The Missionary Song, and it basically is a song that tries your faith, how far you're willing to go for God, how, he brought us, all of us, out of where we were. And, the song just asks, how far are you willing to go for God? Character is not how far you go, but what it takes to stop you. Just, when are you going to give up? Or are you going to give up? Just keep going.
Good night. Make me believe in women preaching.
God gave his son for me upon Mount Calvary. He shed his precious blood to save my soul, and I never could repay the sacrifice he made, but my life, I'll pay the debt I owe. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. And if
guy in the booth up there. Book of John chapter 14 this morning. John chapter 14. Marcy, there's a lot of room up here. You could bring Andrew in the front row if he wants to get close to the preacher. No, you know, I was talking to the pastor about what kind of church you have here. You got a mixed multitude which no man can number. I don't know what's in here. Isms, schisms, gizms of the past. But I was an old street boy. I grew up in the street gangs of Detroit, Michigan. I grew up in the projects, Cotello and Jeffrey's projects. So was you bad? No, I was a punk. That's what I was a punk. Never heard the gospel. I did a lot of stupid things. How many did some stupid things in your life? See your hands. Amen. Yeah, I'm a monk's family. but I had a praying mother, prayed for me. I'd go out to gang fights, come back in, cut up, whatever, stabbed, whatever I did to them, so forth, stuff I don't want to talk about. I do remember one time we were going to a blind pig. Let me know what a blind pig is. After hour joint, we call them blind pigs in Detroit. And after hour joint, the dice were shaved, and we found out about it. The guy's house all of a sudden just disappeared. I don't know what happened to it. My friend blew it up, and I was on the blood before I got saved. But that's where the Lord found the old knucklehead like me. That's where He found me at. And my dad worked for a guy named Jimmy Hoffa. My dad was crippled. Jimmy Hoffa gave him some extra work to help pay for the kids. There's 10 kids in the family. I'm the baby boy of the bunch. I weighed 13 pounds at birth. That's how my mother spelled relief, birth. And so big bubble. I just bubbled out. My brother told me one time, you come to church, I'll buy you a Whopper. I done whopped out. Amen. God bless you. And remember back when the Whalers used to be a Whaler, now they're Minnows. And but I was a bus kid at Dr. Beach and Vick's church, and I heard the gospel of Christ. My brother went to Bible school down in Florida, and went down to Pensacola, Florida, to a guy named Dr. Peter Ruckman. And he asked me to come down and run his gas station. Of course, I was running a gas station downtown Detroit, right about a mile from the Tiger Stadium, between Tiger Stadium and the Canadian Bridge. We're there the other day. And so I go down to Detroit, run his gas station. Of course, I'm up there running my gas station up in Detroit, you know, selling stuff at nighttime. Shouldn't be selling, buying it with company money and putting the company money back in, you know, using, you know, company money to bankroll everything. Buy all the stuff on the midnight hour, amen. And but I had people come out and give me the gospel sometimes, or just give me the gospel. It was amazing to me how just people just walk by afraid of a piece of paper yesterday. And I tell them, yeah, you're afraid of a piece of paper, huh? And I just started preaching to them, you know. And I'd like to see the look on their face. Here's a 6'9", 400-pound gorilla trying to tell you how to stay out of hell, and you don't want to listen. And that's the funniest thing. Then I got cussed out only by women. Women cussed me out. And God bless you. And they were rough, too. That's how I didn't. But we had to find. Anyways, I always said something back to them in Jesus' name. And but it's funny. You need to go street preaching. You need to go. How many have ever gone street preaching or at least passed out tracts on the street? Raise your hand. My goodness, that's a blessing. You have most of the church, and so forth. And but I heard the gospel, and I went down to my brother's gas station and heard the gospel down there, doing stuff at his gas station. Shouldn't have been doing. I was about just turned 17. Went back to Detroit, got put back in jail, and in the jail cell. I believe God does speak to lost people. I don't care what these idiots say. You know, God does speak to them. And he doesn't hear your prayer unless you get saved now. I understand that. But the Lord witnessed me as sure as I'm standing here. You don't get saved now, you ain't getting in. You ain't getting in. I'm sitting in that jail cell, just turned 18 years old, and look at all that. It was a big tank. You know, I guess you don't know what a big tank is, and put it inside the old tank. And then the rescue mission, we call it a bullpen. We get alone in there. And so I'm sitting in the corner because I don't know what's in there. And I'm watching. I've got my back up against the wall. We'll have to do some Rocky Balboa in there or something, you know, get along a little bit. And I'm big, but I can move when I have to. And but I got out of jail, went down to Pensacola, Florida, and got saved a week later. I got saved a week later, got born again, got right with God, and got out of my head, got him into my heart. He changed my life. I quit my drinking and quit my running around, crowds around, and acting stupid and gambling and drinking and drugging and going crazy and so forth. And I didn't live the perfect Christian life, but by the grace of God, I never stopped and just want to keep on going for the cause of Christ. So that's all you're hearing today is a beggar telling another beggar how to get a piece of bread. That's all I am. That's all I am. And I don't claim to be some perfect shot or something like that, but I was working one night at Pacific Garden Mission, downtown Chicago. I worked there for about a year. The missions, I went there to be a supervisor, and Harry Solonier, convert of Billy Sunday, saw me in there, and he says, I want you to be the director here. I said, I don't want to be a director. I just want to be a supervisor. I'm going to school, and I'm going to Bible college. I don't have time for all this. I just want to get my 8 hours in and go in. He said, I'll give you a $3,000 a year raise. I said, I'll take it. And, boy, did I get myself in trouble. 80 hours a week. It went from 40 hours to 80 hours a week. And working there 10, 12 hours a day on the streets, hitting the streets, talking to my soul. But it was on State Street in Chicago in 1982. God broke my heart. And a young man walked in and got saved named Rico. A little black Puerto Rican boy with a fro about this big. It wasn't about this tall. I guess that fro made him look 2 feet larger, taller, you know. And he said, hey, Mr. White Guy. He always called me white guy. He said, hey, white guy. And don't be too sensitive about your race, okay? He called me white guy, and so I called him soul brother, and homie, come here, soul brother, and I talked to him, and he said, you know what, white guy, he said, you're the only white guy who's not afraid, so I ain't afraid of you guys, I ain't afraid of you suckers, I'm going to tell you how to get saved. He said, you know what you got to do, man, listen to what he said, he says, you got to spend the rest of your life working with people like us, because you know how to reach us. I thought to myself, where'd all the big shot preachers? Where's all the educated boys? Hello? See, you need to get rid of your expectations out of people's life and get them back on Christ. You know why some of you folks are depressed today? Because somebody let you down. Boy, it's quiet here today. Somebody let you down. Get your expectations out of people. Put them on Christ. Put them on Christ. And I got to hold that boy, and every time I see that guy, the Lord says, remember what he said? Remember what he said? Remember, I had my life all planned out. I want to be an evangelist. Drive me a van, evangelist. I told him one day I'm going to be a catalyst and drive me a Cadillac, amen. But God broke my heart there to open some homes, and we opened some homes in 1990. I really call them the Roloff Reclamation Ranch, and that's who trained me, Brother Roloff. And so that's been almost 22 years ago. So it's just, we're moving on for the cause of Christ, and doing 17 years, but it had started before that. The Reclamation Ranch is about 17 years old, and started in my heart in 1980. And so that's where it all got started. God took a boy out of the city of Detroit, and he was an old stinking wino, glue bag, gangbanger like me. We didn't call them gangbangers back then, and we call them knuckleheads and whatever. And God saved me and used me. He can use you. You know what's going to happen to some of you parents? You come to church like this, God's going to get a hold of you, your precious little darling, and says, I want you in Africa. I want you in Japan. I want you here in the States. And you got your plans all planned out for your kids. God's going to mess them up for you. Hey, man, God bless you. How you doing? He does that. Hey, there's three girls up here right here. One wanting to go to Ireland. One wanting to go to New Guinea. Another one wants to go to Cuba. And they'll do it. Where's the men at today? Where's the men at today? That's not what I'm preaching on today. You know what I find out? We were just driving on the road just yesterday with the pastor. I had a pastor call me. Daughter in trouble. Got to try to help her. Got kids in the mental ward. Got kids on prostitution row. You've seen a lot of them out there. You know, I helped a girl off the street one time. A pimp called me up. He said, "Hey, you blank preacher, you got one of my girls?" I said, "No, I got one of God's children. I ain't got one of your girls, you little sucker." He said, "I'm coming to get her." I said, "If you come here, I'm gonna change your life. I'm gonna change your stinking life with a bat and with a King James Bible and a 34 inch Mickey Mantle. You know what that is, don't you? God bless you. If he won't get you, that Ted Williams will get you, okay? Or Yowie Jastrzemski. And he called me up, wanted to come. I said, look, man, before I got saved, I didn't always tote the Bible, okay? I was a knucklehead. And he never did show up. I helped one girl out of a row one night. And she said, well, how do you get all these stories going through life? Just going through life. And so and you got your stories, too. You got your stories, too. Met a bunch of them. I was here about 5 years ago with Joe Costa and Bill Grady. We were at the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And Brother Grant and he was telling me how he knew the city and how God's blessed him and he got saved and so forth. And all of a sudden, a girl screams out, "Jack Patterson, what are you doing in New York City?" I looked over at him, I said, "Who's that?" I said, "I tried to help that girl 10 years ago." He said, "Can you go anywhere without people knowing you?" I said, "I don't know, man. I don't know. They're everywhere." I remember one night I went to a McDonald's. I had to go to California. Someone said, "California, like Raisin Bran cereal, you get rid of the fruits and nuts, all you have left is a bunch of flakes out there." They probably said the thing about New Yorkers, but I like what Bob Jones Sr. said. He's only the difference between New York and hell is New York is surrounded by water. A lot of truth to that. Amen. Come on. And hey, this city needs this church. Hey, this city needs this. Hey, you guys got to go to a building program or something. Something going on around here. And but I tell you, it's a blessing always to be here. You ought to come into your church for your emphasis on soul winning. Your emphasis on passing out tracts. And I was going to McDonald's one night, and I had to drive through California. I went to the speaker box and ordered me a couple of double cheeseburgers, some hot French fries, and a Diet Coke. Got to get Diet Coke in there. And I saw Jack Howells one time. He had 25 tacos and an enchilada, but he had Diet Dr. Pepper. And, you know... But I got my Diet Coke there that night, and the girl says, "Jack Patterson, what are you doing here?" I said, "Hey, what are you doing? Do you know me?" I put out my cigarette real fast, you know. Oh, just kidding. And I said, I drove up to the window. I said, "Do you know me?" She said, "I heard you preach last year." He said, "I know that voice anywhere. Jack Patterson." Well, good. Let me pay my bill and get out of here. You know too much. God bless you. But hey, this old world needs you. This old world, you know, I'm appreciative of the message this morning about what the Lord. The Lord gave a testimony, and I'm gonna give a testimony. It's only found one time in the King James Bible, John chapter 14, a little nugget tucked away in the Gospels. And what I find seeing in God's people, the latter days are being beat up, being tormented by the old smutty face, by the old devil. Folks, the devil cannot read your mind. He cannot read your mind. So I don't confess my sins out loud. I don't want him to know something's on me. So don't tell the devil something he doesn't know. Hello, you want to come out of my mouth praising God? Other than fighting the cab drivers around here. Hey, we saw a cab driver trying to do a Louis in the front. Some old Toyota popped him right in the front. Bam, right there yesterday. And so forth. But hey, this life is crazy. This life has a lot of torments. But I'm gonna give you a truth. I'm trying to be an encouragement to you. And found over in John chapter 14. Now my glasses broke the other day. Every time I come in, my glasses break. But my glasses, I got a $500 pair of glasses. Went to a glass place the other day and got my glasses fixed. And she said, "Are you a missionary?" I said, "I sure am." She said, "Well, your glasses are free." And so the eye popped out. We cracked that. The optometrist broke that. So before I got back down there again, I had to wear it. So one of my staff members went to Walmart last night and got me a pair of glasses. Now laugh because they're small. Amen. God bless you. They're third grade. These are one of my girls' glasses, but I'm gonna wear them this morning. Okay. God bless you. Now and as I came in this morning, I gotta take this coat off. It's already been 5 minutes. I only preached 5 minutes with a coat on. Look at that physique right there. God bless you. Have a backpack. Now I got 3 front packs. God bless you. I came in this morning and Miss Joan? She came in there and said, "Oh, Brother Patterson, I got a gift for you." She sent me a gift to Alabama and it came back. I said, "What was the gift?" She said, I bought you 3 pairs of suspenders. Look at there. Look at them. Come on. Isn't that sharp? Come on. I told the girls for Christmas, one girl from Cuba said, "Oh, no, Brother Jack, that's Mexican, man. That's Mexican." So I got my hot bandanas on today. Okay, God bless you. Thank you, Miss Joan. God bless you. I looked at her. I said, "I know you're German descent. And what are you, Swedish?" Norwegian. All right. I like Norwegian food. God bless you. Put me on the menu. God bless you. So, Brother Jack, what's your favorite food? Whatever you cook, okay? Now, we ate last night. We ate Camelaria. No, what do you call it? Camara. Joe Camelaria. That's a friend of mine. It's a preacher. But we ate it. I ate, what is it? Squid? I ate squid last night, Karen. I tore it up in Jesus' name. Oh, my soul. I was so hungry. Every time I swallowed, my stomach said, "Thank you." But we took care of it. Look over here in John chapter 14. Got to hurry. I'm getting hungry. John chapter 14. I'm going to read you a few verses here. Look at verse 14:26. John chapter 14. And John 14, verse 26. "But the Comforter," another name for the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Ghost, "whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." So the Holy Spirit's a teacher. So if he's a teacher, you need to talk to him. Ask him things. The Holy Spirit has a personality. Over in Acts chapter 5, he's lied to. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, he's grieved. He's a person. He's a person. Talk to him. Talk to him. He'll talk to you. He'll teach you some things. All things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27, peace. The devil will bring a lot of junk in your mind, too, of the past. He'll try to get you off the store. Hey, if there's one thing he wants to do to your life today, is stop you. And if he can't stop you, he wants to slow you down. He wants you to wreck your potential. I tell these boys all the time, I've told that boy Andrew back there, I said, "Boy, you don't have to be stuck on stupid." "Oh, okay. I told a guy one time, a pastor's son, I said, "Why are you going to prison all the time?" He said, "Brother Jack, I'm just stuck on stupid." Well, let's just get stuck off of stupid, amen. Let's get stuck on the scriptures this morning and get your mind cleared up, get your head cleared up. Some of our young folks come from the mental wards. I've had girls come in from Bob Jones University in handcuffs and shackles. Hello, and walk out of there with a King James shackled. And walk out there doing the will of God for your lives. And I've got boys. One boy just come to Bible school the other day, but was slips from mine. And he was out there working and so forth. And mother came up to him and said, "If you're going to die, son, I'm going to get an insurance policy on your head. I'm tired of putting money out on you." Hello? "Well, I don't think a parent should talk that way." Well, you go ahead and live about 15 years with an old crackhead. And steal everything you got. Hello? That boy came to my ranch and got right. You know where he's at right now? He's in his fourth year in Bible college. So he's coming this year. He wants to come in and work for me. He just told me the other day the school got rid of a bunch of computers. They're going to give the ranch about 5 or 10 computers. And he said, by the way, he said, put my name on one of them, too, because that's from my office. Amen. That's the way he thinks. He's from the streets. I like that. That's good. Innovative. That's good. And so forth. Hey, but how's God doing this? Hey, I have to convince these young folks, hey, I don't care what you've done. Whatever your past might have been, your past, your future's still spotless. I tell them all the time, let your past stay in the past.
Amen.
Let your past stay in the past. Keep it back there. And whatever you, hey, God used three convicts to write most of his Bible. Moses, hello, come on. I don't care how bad you were in that old world. Hey, why should you be, why should you be less tougher for God than you were for the devil? Hello? I told some guys this. I go to prison and preach to them all the time, and I've been to death row and preached up there, and they see a guy like me and say, man, you look like you was born with a Bible. No, I was an idiot. And I got saved. I'm glad I got, I don't know what I got in heaven. I just want to lick that gold. I just want to say, whew, thank God I made it. You know why I'm so glad I'm saved this morning? Because I don't have to burn. I'll never have to burn. I hate pain. I'll cut my finger and I'll go on workman's comp. That's a New York joke, amen? I heard one the other day. You said, you know why Jews have a big nose? It told to me by another Jew, by the way. Because the air is free. You know what a Jewish dilemma is? A free ham sandwich. That's a joke. It's funny. You know who told that joke to me? Sam Cohen. Sam Cohen was the father of Newton Baum. A friend of mine named Bill Grady, been witnessing him for 3 years to get saved. He tells Bill Jew jokes all the time. Hey, I got news for you, folks. Let me tell you something. In Christ, you're either Jew or Greek. You're in him. You know what you ought to be thankful this morning? You're in the body of Christ. And your past has been washed away. But now I'm going to give you a truth this morning. I'm trying to help, as I say in North Carolina, I want to help you this morning. I want to help you. And I want to help you this morning. Why? I'm concerned about your present and your future. And Jesus laid down the truth right here. By the way, you know what's got the world most Christians? It isn't dope. It's materialism. They pumped out 50 million credit cards. There's over 50,000 loaning institutions now in America. 50,000. Hey, if the system can't get you dumb, they want to numb you. You know what this book right here will do? This book will keep you in reality.
Amen.
They had me on the witness stand the other day. Some judge says, Dr. Patterson, you got a doctor's degree, right? I said, yeah. She said, oh, but yours is just honorary. It don't mean nothing. I said, well, one of my colleagues had an honorary degree. You sure recognize his? She said, who's that? I said, Dr. Martin Luther King. In my chambers, quick. The judge told the reverend, touche, touche, touche. Hey, this old system ain't trying to put you down. I'm not going to go to Egypt and get my education. I got 3 earned degrees. I read 2 books a week now. Chick Tracks, at least there are 2 books, amen. He's reading 3 books now. The lady asked me today, she said, you don't have any state license. I said, well, Jim Jones had 5 of them. Hello? You know what I want to do? I want to take this King James Bible. You heard these girls get up here and quote the scripture and scripture and scripture. That's why their eyes are clearing up. That's why their head's clearing up. Why? Got the word of God inside of them. And that's why your head's foggy this morning. You got mad at this old world. You got mad at that old flesh. Put that book in you. If you can't get it, memorize it. Memorize it. I wake up in the morning, can't sleep. I go to bed. I just put me a chapter. I'll go right back to sleep. I just go, I'll get another one. I'll get another one. I'll get another one. I'll get another. Pop the book in you. When light comes in, darkness got to get out. May I tell you, this book right here will put you on the mission field. This book right here will bless you. This book right here will make you sell $500,000 house in Colorado and pastor in Pennsylvania in 2 months. That's the power of this old blessed book. That's why they want this book out of your hand. Why? You have no courage. That's why you better memorize it. That's why you better know it. When did you, Mom and Dad ever read the Bible together? Boy, it's quiet this morning. I'm glad you took my offering already. You take some of it out. Maybe these britches are falling down. Good night. I remember one time they did fall down. I don't know if I told that here the last time I'm out, but I was preaching one time and my stinking britches fell down. I mean, they fell down. I mean, they fell down, down. I didn't have my suspenders on one time, Brother Veach, and I'm a big guy, you know, and I'm fully upholstered. Man, my belly went. I said, the Bible says, and my belly came in. And my pants went down. And I said, all right, everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. Because I had the whole choir behind me back over here. And I saw a few of them sisters over there watching and praying, amen. I guarantee you one thing, they didn't see no silk. It was all cotton. BBDs, baby. Let me ask you a question. Would you be here a year from today? Would you be here 5 years from today? If you're going to be here a year to 5 years from today, it's going to have to be on purpose. Something's going to pull you out of church. Now, nothing can pull you out of Christ. But he died for the church. I know the church isn't that building, that steel. It's people. It's people. You know, you're on the workforce, be a good Christian on that workforce. Be a witness for Christ. You know, don't sell out. I got a guy call me one night. He said, are you Jack Patterson? Yeah. Now I'm going to check out who's calling. Yeah, Jack Patterson. I'm so-and-so. I work for the ATF. I said, okay. What can I do for you? What do one of my guys do now? He said, oh, no. He said, alcohol and tobacco, firearms. And I said, what's up? He said, my boy's in trouble. He said, I need some help. I got a little brave then. I said, okay, I'll be glad to help you. And so where's he at? Went and got him. Oh, Ryan. He said, by the way, Brother Patterson, if you ever need a phone number, I'll get you a phone number in 5 minutes. I never had to use it. So, in other words, if somebody want to get bad, I want to call them up. I'll go lose that number. I'll get your number in about 5 minutes. Hey, so-and-so, help me out. Got straightened out. Hey, what do you do when I have little kids walk in their house and see their mother hanging from the rafters, hung themselves? What do you do when I get girls and boys that their own mom and dad are pimps? That's what we deal with. Thank God, not all, not a lot, but it's happened. Let me show you a text this morning to be a blessing to you. I want to show you something. I just turned 55 the other day. You know what I want to do? I want to live to see the rapture in my lifetime. I'm gonna try to get my action in health and try to get some weight off. I don't want some oily work. Hey, big boy, come here. I don't want no oily working on me. Especially one of them funny guys. Now you give me big Olga with hairy legs, he can work on me. God bless you. I don't want no wimpy guy working on me. But over here in John chapter 14 is a good truth I want to leave you this morning. Trying to be a blessing to you. Look over here at John 14. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Now the world, thank God for the peace of God, not for this old stinking world. That song said, I tried what this world had to offer. Then they told me God above would fill my heart with love, and I'll never be the same anymore. I'll never be the same since Jesus saved me. I'll never live the same life anymore. He's the one who died on Calvary to save a wretch like me, and I'll live with him forevermore. Hey, written by the Queen of the Hell's Angels. Got saved and married to a pastor now 35 years. Wrote over 200 songs. Hey, that's the power of that old book right there. Amen. Oh, this old world never gave you any peace. Oh, they took it, and they took it, and they took it, and they took it, and they took it. Oh, thank God. God, Jesus is a giver. Satan is a subtractor, and he takes your virginity. He takes your purity. He takes your morality. But oh, thank God, God's a giver of my peace, my strength. And you can get rid of your medications, you get right with God.
Amen.
I told somebody the other day, he said, I'm on Zoloft. I said, you don't need Zoloft, you need Roloff. Hey, man, Uncle Lester put a trip on you there. Now, I got a few pills for medication, but I buy nothing that alters my mind. Hello. I'm a diabetic now. I didn't know you. I tried to fast, tried to get spiritual a couple months ago, and I do that once in a while, and my body started shaking. I mean, he got the shakes. It felt like Elvis. Come on, baby. You know, he's got the shakes here. A hubba, hubba, burning in love or something. I called a friend of mine. I said, man, why is my body shaking so much? He said, man, you're a diabetic. You got to eat right now. You got to eat sometimes 7 times a day. I stopped at the next 7 restaurants. Ate there, right there, right there, and ate there. But still shakes. I thank God for that peace that God gave me. Look over here at verse number 29. Look at verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced. Because I said, I go to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Now watch verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. Now look at that word ETH. He didn't say he comes. He's cometh. I'll have time to tell you this morning how many times Satan appeared to Christ. That word cometh is a funny word in English language. He just keeps coming. He 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 cometh. He keeps coming. You know, the devil's not done with you yet. 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 Our Bible says, the prince's world cometh. Watch and look at the next phrase. And he hath nothing in me. Hey, come on. I'm going to preach you just a little bit here. He ain't got nothing on me. Father, thank you for the word of God. Help me be a blessing to your people this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this old blessed book. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus Christ is going to the cross, and the prince of the power of the air is coming after him. He's coming after him and so forth. But I give that phrase, he hath nothing on me. I talk to Christians all the time. You know what's happened to them? The devil's got them entwined, got them all tore up, got them all tangled up. He got something on you. He's got something on you. He's got something on you. I'm going to give you about seven fast statements here this morning. I want to tell you, you can't have victory in Christ. You can't have liberty in Christ. But I see some Christians in bondage. They're in bondage and everything else. In bondage of debt, the bondage of materialism, the bondage of self. A bondage of self. I got news for you. I don't want the devil. I check myself. I check my mind. I check my heart. I don't want the devil to say, hey, I got something on old Jack. I got something on old Karen. I got something on the coat. Hey, I don't want the devil to have nothing on myself. Hey, bless God, don't let the devil have nothing on your kids. Hey, daddy, don't let the devil have nothing on your wife. Protect your home. Hey, mama, don't let the devil have nothing on your home. And Jesus said, hey, the prince of this whole world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. Ain't got no hooks in him. Ain't got no hooks in him. The devil got a hook on you today? The devil got a hook on you today? That he got something in you don't know that's there? He got something in your mind? One guy said, you let a bird land on your head, and one day you have a bird nest. You let the devil put a thought in your mind, and you don't block that thought out, he'll trigger and trigger and trigger and trigger that thought to put bad perceptions inside your mind that's not there. That don't mean nothing. You looking to a preacher today? I hate that sucker. I hate him. 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 He's wrecked my home, wrecked my family, wrecked my dad's life, wrecked our whole home. You know what? Devil got in there. You know what this preacher's got to watch? He's got to make sure the devil don't. He heard. How many? I think I counted five times he prayed, Lord, if there's any bad spirits around here, rebuke them. Hello? Hey, I could come in that dorm, and you spiritual dads, you got to know this. You ought to be able to come in your house and your property. You should be able to feel something in your home that's not right. I could come in that property, that dorm, and I could just feel something ain't right with them boys. I could just feel something ain't right with them men. I know I could feel something right ain't right with them girls. Girls are mean. They're sneaky. Boys are stupid. They'll get in trouble every time. We got a camera in the boys' dorm. We had a meeting the other day, and they saw this boy take some cookies off the counter, and he's sitting there eating them, you know, and it wasn't Andrew. And this boy was taking cookies off, and they brought him upstairs. Did you take that cookie? No, I didn't take it. And while he's talking, they got the monitor on with the film. And they see him going like this. Did you take that cookie? No, I didn't take that cookie. I wasn't even down there. I wasn't even there. And man, he convinced everybody. Almost. And he wasn't there. Here he was right there. Thinking liar. It's good to see some of my boys get turned around. We had a boy come in last year. Oh, was he Puerto Rican? A boy from, what's that boy's name? What's his name? Sam, that boy came in and had teardrops on his eyes or his fingers and so forth, 16 years old from Chicago. Well, he's cussing me out left and right. You tell Brother Jack I got something to say to him. You tell him to bring it on. We're going to get it on. Well, he said, all right, sucker, dun-dun-dun-dun. Let's go get it on then. God bless you. I came in there, and he's on the front row of the church. I don't wait that for church. Hey, boy, come in. Let's go talk. We wasn't talking to the preacher's office. Well, he never met me. And he says, how big I am. I say, hey, boy. See how they do that, you know. I think a gorilla or something, you know. The first time I saw a guy doing sign language, I thought he was epileptic. Ooh. I said, here I am, homie. I said, what do you got to say about yourself? He said, man, I had a bad day. I ain't messing with you, Brother Jack. You're the man. He said, I just want, he said, I'm just, he said, I'm frustrated. Couldn't say his R. He said, I'm just frustrated. You know where he's at tonight? He's at Pensacola Bible Institute. Got right with God. Starting to be a preacher. He's a street preacher. Hey, he's a street preacher today. Why? You know what? He had something in him, but he got it out. Got something out, but what's your problem today? What is your problem today? You know what your problem is? Something's in you. It's hooked you. And you won't get that hook out. Attitude? Did somebody burn you in 2007? They did? Good. Some little kid, 4 years old, somebody took his cookie. I'll give you a verse. Peter, the Bible says Peter went out and wept happily. No, Peter, if he denied Christ, he went out and wept bitterly. You bitter today at somebody? Are you mad at somebody? My dad never told me he loved me but twice in his whole life. That's so sad. First time I was 8 years old, I fell on, ripped my knee open, and took me out and bought me a pair of P.O. Flyers. Remember P.O. Flyers? Red Bull Jets. I can still see that money ripped. Kids are for kids. Now they got snaking $200 gym shoes, but now they got rollers on them. Suckers. Flashlights, horns, windshield wipers, I guess everything else. Meet me. Go, kid, go. Last time he told me he loved me was on his deathbed. But I'm not going to go through life. I make a statement. I got it from somewhere. Never allow your hurt to hurt someone else. But allow your hurt to help somebody else. Never allow your hurt to hurt someone else. If I talked to you in 5 minutes, I'd find out what bothers you. I find out what hurts you. But you take that hurt and give it to God. You take that hurt. He says, well, Jack, what do you do? Hey, I'll tell you three things I don't like that bother me. Number one, I don't like the dark. Just don't like it. At nighttime, we got night lights everywhere. Approach control. He's coming in again for a crash landing at the refrigerator. I don't like being tall. I don't like it. You ever go on an airplane? They just look at you. And I had some black girl come up to me the other day, and she said, man, you are one big white boy. She's about 6'2". I said, look at you, Amazon.com. Come on. All the other home, man, he's crazy. I witnessed to him. You talk about my height, I'm going to witness to you. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Third thing is, I got a hot temper. Ooh, I got a hot temper. Ooh. I got a hot temper. Ooh. Try this one more time. You know, Ethel, whatever her name is. What the Lord did to that. Hey, I know a great preacher had a hot temper. He lost the promised land because he lost his temper. What's quiet today? His name's Moses. Well, I didn't kill nobody, but you got a hot temper, don't you? You get mad, you use that little sharp tongue of yours to cut people's heads off, don't you? God can fix that. He can get rid of that poison, the mass off of your tongue, and put some honey on there. As I saw Brother John preaching yesterday, I saw tears coming down his cheeks. It wasn't the cold weather, it was a heart broken. Preaching to a city. What are you saying, preacher? I'm always constantly checking this right here. Always. I'm always watching what's up here. Someone said it this way, Pastor Veach. What you love, what you think, and what you love is what you become. So what do you have, what am I supposed to have? I'm supposed to have the mind of Christ. I'm supposed to have it. That book says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the life of Jesus Christ that he might be manifested in my flesh. That means I got to put down some stuff. I got to put away some stuff. I got to put off some stuff. And when I put off, then I can put on. But you ain't putting on till you put off. Amen. Hey, Jesus, can you give me a testimony? Yeah, the prince and power there cometh. And he hath nothing, nothing, nothing in me. And you got that testimony this morning? Did you let somebody in 2007? The little boy, little girl will take you away. Hey, why is it you let your kids take you away from the love of Christ? Man, if I had a burden, I'd be the first one on the front row. I'd be the first one at the altar. Why is it you get burdened and you back away from church? Why is it when you get burdens and heartache, if you stop your giving and you stop your loving and you stop it? Oh, no, don't do that. Get more, get more, get more, get more close to God. Get more of that Bible. And man, get to that preaching and hear that preaching and get some water. Get some water in your mind and your life. Our old smutty face sits on my shoulder all the time, whispers. Whispers, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Staying broke? They keep me broke. Four of those girls right here don't send me a dime. They ain't got no money. That's only half of it. I never ask them for nothing. Where's it come from? God's people. I can honestly say, if I'm lying, may God kill this guy right now. See these fingers right here? They ain't nothing ever stuck. Ain't nothing ever stuck. That's that world. And Joyce Myers, they're all getting investigated. You know what she sits on when she goes to the bathroom? A $30,000 toilet seat. Hello. Go ahead, listen, that little witch. The nice, hey, ain't nothing wrong with you having nothing nice. But come on. I don't need no marble to go to the bathroom on. Hello. God bless you. Amen. Hope I didn't hit on your head. I went to a Baptist church the other day. A guy told me, don't you preach against Benny Hinn. I like to mess his hairdo up one time. Just one time. Benny, what's up? I hope you don't believe it. I hope you know he's a phony, don't you? According to this book right here, he's a phony. Eats baloney. Probably eats macaroni. All I'm simply saying to you is this. I got to protect this. I got to protect this. I'm not going to come here and tell you how many times Christians done me wrong. I wish I can come back here and tell you, and I've done a lot. I wish I could come back and tell you how many I've done Christians right who done me wrong. In a lot of cases I have, but I haven't done all of them in all cases. And I made those things right. Consciously, there's nothing in my mind that I've never hurt nobody. Or that I did say something about them, but I didn't go back and make it right. That book talks about being suffered or frauded. I hate that verse. You know what God says, when they do you wrong, let it go. Lord, no, not that. Lord said, I'll take care of it. See, if you take care of it, then he won't take care of it. You know what I'd rather do? Who you think spanks harder, you or God? I said, all right, Lord, this is a rough one. But I'm going to give it to you. You take care of it. And then what you do is you never talk about it again. It's over. That's Christian maturity. Now, I'm still trying to get there, believe me. But that's what I call Christian maturity. I made that statement one time, and a banker come up to me and said, if I'd heard what you just said, I'd still have $1 million in my pocket. I got mad at the business guy, and we had a fight, and I walked away from him and lost $1 million. He said, my pride took $1 million out of my pocket. Let me give you several things in closing quickly. Number one, Brother Patterson, how do you keep the prince and the power of the air to have nothing in me? Number one, keep your sins confessed. Keep them confessed. Keep them confessed. Keep them confessed. Number two, keep bitterness out. Keep malice out. You know what malice is? Go home. You know what malice is? Go to Starbucks. Get me a cup. You know what Starbucks is? Give me the back door. You know what malice is? Only in New York. You know what malice is? Only unfulfilled revenge. You got mouse told somebody, you're thinking, I'll catch him, I'll get him. You better get that stuff out of your system. I ain't talking about somebody breaks the law. We ain't doing all that. But I'm talking about just a Christian life. Quickly, unconfessed sin, bitterness, unthankfulness, unindignant spirit, unsubmissive spirit, one accord. I told the pastor this yesterday. First Samuel 13, there was the king Saul, and there had a boy named Jonathan. Jonathan was a great warrior. But Jonathan fought the garrisons of the Philistines and beat them. And two verses later, you know what Saul said? Saul said he killed him. You know what Saul's problem was? He took the credit for everything. You got to have all the limelight in your house? You got to have a limelight in all your ministry? Shouldn't. Hey, Dad, when you offend that daughter or son, go apologize to them. What's your name, son? Joe. Come here, Joe. Can you move your eyebrows? Man, you got some big eyebrows. Look like Groucho Marx. How old are you, Bubba?
18.
I want you to be my son, okay? I'll buy you a milkshake a week, a cheeseburger. Turn around. Turn around. Look at that wall. You're in trouble. You know the last verse of that Bible, the Old Testament? It doesn't deal with the gospel. You know what it deals with? The relationship to a father, to a son, and daughter. Malachi chapter 4. The last verse in the Bible before the Lord. He said, lest the Lord come and smite you with a curse. He said, I want the hearts of the sons and the fathers. Watch this. Here's where we're at in America today. I know it's funny, but look. That's where your son is. He's close to you, but he's not close to you. Oh, you provide the home and provide the money, but you're not spending some time with that boy. That hearts of the sons and the fathers when they're turned, repentance, is when they get right, and there's communication there. Amen. When that heart turns, thank you, brother. I'll buy the cheeseburger later. Go straight to your brother Veach, he'll hook you up. We'll take you to Rocco's. Let me ask you a question. Where's your heart at today? Is it turned towards the family? Let me ask you a question. If the prince in power come in here today, can he point you out? I got something in him. I got something in him. I got something in him. Maybe somebody took some money and didn't pay you back. I've had land stolen from me. I had vans. I had one van, a superintendent. I'm in Mexico. He takes my van, and he's my superintendent. He takes it, and gets checks out of my office, and runs to a drug house and other things. What'd you do to him? I want to kill him in Jesus' name first. I got him back. And I took his life of clay, and by the grace of God, I tried to remold his life. Stole money. Stole a van, left my guys stranded. That's what really hurts me, when they leave people inconveniently on somebody else. But he got right with the Lord, Brother Veach. I preached his ordination last year. He got right with God. He's looking for a church today. What are you saying, preacher? That I'm just a broken man. I'm just a beggar. Telling the beggar, another beggar. Hey, another beggar. Hey, I got it. You want some of this? I got it. It's real, man. It works. How to get a piece of bread. But what I got to do every day of my life, I got to make sure that sucker doesn't have a hook in me. I got to make sure he doesn't put a thought in my mind that didn't come from God. I got to keep that out every day of my life. Because I ain't getting out. And I tell you, brother, one thing he'll put on you, he'll put a hook in you. He'll slow you down. Somebody did you wrong. And he'll make you think lies in your head is not even true. He's a liar, about John 6 says he is. He's a liar. I just tell the devil, go home where you belong now. Get out of here. One time, Dr. Tom Malone was going down the road. He's dead now. And he said, all of a sudden, somebody just jumped on his shoulder and said, Tom, you're old. You ain't got no insurance. You ain't got no retirement. You're old. He said he found out who was doing the talking. He slammed on his brakes. Beep! Open the door. Get out of here, devil! Get on back to hell! I'm living for of God. Slammed my door and got back in the car and went on down the road. Some of y'all need to tell the devil to get out. Shall we stand? Father, thank you for the Bible this morning. Father, pray that you take home this simple truth. Father, he ain't got nothing on me. Lord, I'm talking to moms and dads and men and women all over the walks of life in this room this morning, and I asked them a question this morning. Is there something on them? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed before Pastor Veach comes up here. Let me ask you a question this morning. Christian's head bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you a question this morning. I've been honest with you this morning. Let me ask you a question. So, Brother Jack, I don't know how he got in, but I think something got in. And by the grace of God, I'm conscious of it today. By the grace of God, I want to get it out. I want it out. Sure, who say, Christians, preacher, pray for me. Would you lift your hand over the room? Amen. God bless you. Many, oh, my soul. Many hands. Brother Jackie got in. He got in. I don't know how that sucker got in, but by the grace of God, I want him out. Those who just lift your hands right now, what do you say? You mean business with God? Won't you step out of your seat right now and come on a old-fashioned altar? That's right. Come on. Come on right now. You don't need no music. Come on right now. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Step out of your seat right now. Come on. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You mean business with God? Come on forward. Come on quickly. Amen. She starts playing. God speaks to your heart. Come on. Others are coming, flooding down the aisles. Come on. Amen. God bless you. Hey, how serious do you mean business with God this morning? Before Pastor Pete comes this morning, he said, oh, Brother Jack, I need to get that sucker out of my heart and out of my mind. And I let things get to me in 2007. By the grace of God, they're getting out today. They're getting out today. Head bowed, eyes closed, as she plays. You do what God tells you to do. He hath nothing in me. Teenager, how about you today? You let the world get a hold of your life and the music and the dress get a hold of your life? Don't let him in. Don't let him in. Mom, take a stand. Dad, take a stand. Take a stand. Cut them shorelines. Cut them hooks out of your life. Get them out. Oh, stand firm, Christian. Reach that potential for the cause of Christ. Keep marching. Keep that head held high. Keep that look on the eastern sky. We're getting out of here one day, but keep on. But let me tell you something. Don't let him slow you down. He won't stop you. But he'll sure mess up your potential. Pastor Beats.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep the invitation open for a few minutes. If that message spoke to you, you know there's some truth in there. You know you've got something in your life today. The devil let something, he put something in your heart, in your home. If you don't take care of it, this morning's an opportunity for you to do that. If you don't take care of it, it may ruin your life. It may wreck your home. It may finish off your marriage. Why not get it right this morning, Christian? It's been a message for the saints this morning, for the saved. Why don't you get it right this morning? Satan got an advantage over you. You weren't watching. He's let something get in your heart, get in your mind, get in your thoughts. Some kind of a habit, things you've been looking at, something you've been holding inside you, something that got a hold of you. That's what a hook does. It gets a hold of you. And if you don't get rid of it, if you don't confess it, if you don't repent of it this morning, you're not gonna grow. It may even destroy you before it's done. Anyone else? We'll wait just a few minutes. Anyone else? Just step out from where you are if you want to and come right here with these. Anyone else? All right, maybe you're here this morning and you realize you need to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. I want to encourage you this morning. Why don't you surrender your heart to the Lord? Why don't you just trust Jesus Christ this morning? It doesn't mean joining a church. It doesn't mean promising God you're going to turn over a new leaf. It means coming as a sinner and just receiving Jesus Christ, trusting Him today. I wonder, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone here this morning you'd say, I need that. I need to trust the Lord this morning. I know I need to be saved. Pray for me this morning. Is there anyone like that at all? Just lift your hand and put it right back down. We're not going to embarrass you, friend. Not at all. If you're here this morning and you know you need to be saved, could we pray for you this morning? Is there anyone like that at all? Just lift your hand and put it right back down. Let us pray for you today. Anyone, just lift your hand, put it right back down. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If you died today, do you know whether or not you'd go to heaven? If today was the day of your death, we saw an accident right in front of our eyes yesterday morning in the city. It happened so quick, we hardly even realized what had happened. And no one got hurt as far as I know, but it could have been a lot more serious than that. You have no promise, no guarantee from God that you're going to live to be 100. You don't know for sure you're going to be here tomorrow. You have an appointment with God. And if you should go out into eternity today, are you sure that you're saved? Are you sure that you know Christ? If you're not, please, we urge you this morning, let us pray for you. We can help you. We can show you from the Scriptures how you can have eternal life. Is there anyone at all you'd say, pray for me, I do need to be saved. Here's my hand. Pray for me this morning. All right. Father, we thank you this morning for the message. We thank you for the messenger that you've sent.